Chair, the Advancing the Government Subcommittee recommends that LC 4193 be introduced in the House as a committee bill. LC 4193 initiates a process that will result in telephone tax revenues being used to support one primary public safety answering point for the county. The LC allows the tax to be collected for another 2 years, increases fiscal accountability through performance audits, requires development of a primary public safety answering point consolidation plan, establishes a consolidation incentive fund, and allows for a one-time use of a small amount of the funds to purchase dispatch equipment for the new Central Communications Coordination Center. The subcommittee unanimously recommends this bill for introduction.
You've heard the motion to recommend that LC 4193 relating to emergency communications be introduced. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. LC 4224, Representative Westland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. LC 4224 establishes a Medicare upper limit account that is distinct from the general fund and continuously appropriates funds in the account to the Department of Human Services. The purpose of LC 4224 is to allow the Legislative Assembly to use funds generated by the Medicare upper limit mechanism during the 99-01 biennium in later biennium by segregating these funds from the general fund. The amount of the 99-01 funds that would be carried over to subsequent biennia is not specified in the LC, but would be added later to the bill as the state budget is being finalized. The changes implemented by LC 4224 would take effect on June 30, 2001.
Is there further discussion? You've heard the motion to recommend that LC 4224 relating to the Medicare upper limit be introduced. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Not, it's been so approved. Informational presentation, Mr. Michael Greenfield, Mr. Dan Kennedy. Why don't you come up too, would you please? I think there'll be questions for both of you.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Good morning. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you for having me by this morning. We've had discussions individually at our subcommittee hearing and in other venues about Department of Administrative Services as a management tool and trying to sharpen that tool and use it more aggressively to manage what goes on in state government. And I think one of the real opportunities to demonstrate that kind of discipline is around reclass accountability. I think there's some frustration with reclassifications appearing at the legislature months after they've occurred and having the legislature sort of faced with an fait accompli. And so we are going to change our processes so that we carefully look at these, and those which we believe are appropriate, we will pass on to the legislature in a timely way during the e-board, or if it's during session, so that there's not a lengthy wait between actions that agencies want to take and legislative review, approval, or disapproval. In addition to that, we've had some discussions with the co-chairs and others about taking a look at executive-level positions in Oregon to see that we're competitive and that those positions are appropriately classified. And we'll be conducting that review and probably have something for you to look at just before or next session for your review. In addition, I think that it's probably time to take a close look at the point factor evaluation system, sometimes known as the HAE system, which is the system that we use to evaluate all of the positions in state government. And so we're going to put together a group, including your staff, to take a close look at this system, see if it's really working to appropriately classify employees in the state, and that we're have our folks located in the market where they compete. Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, Senator Crow.
I do remember when we implemented the HAE system, and the reason for implementing it was pay inequity for women in, who work for us, and I don't know that we've solved that problem. I think it's much better, but I hope that we won't forget why we had put that one in place in case we substitute something else for it.
Mr. Chair, Senator Trow, that language is contained in the statute. The hay process is what we adopted administratively, and so I think we're going to be looking, obviously the statute's
keep the language
in a different ballpark in mind, but the execution of it, I think there's been some frustration and needs a close look.
Okay. Maybe along with that, Mr. Chair, we could have a report on how we're doing with hay equity.
Okay, if you might, Michael, is give a report to Senator Trell with copies to the rest of us on what is happening with the pay equity issue.
You have
and see if we're maintaining that schedule.
Mr. Co-Chair, if I might.
Representative Morgan.
The issue of reclassification is one that became very important in the Natural Resources Subcommittee. And I am personally very happy to see this process come forward. And one of the frustrations that we experienced in the committee, and in fact still experience, is the lack of background information that is given to committee members when the reclassification is presented. We have no contextual information to decide whether the reclassification decision is wise or not wise. And so I'm really encouraged to see the package of information that's going to be presented to the committee members to help them decide whether the reclassifications are good for the state or not good for the state. And I think that this is going to go a long way towards making the connection between the agencies and the ways and means process, and just facilitating the dialogue so that we are making better decisions here in how we're managing things.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, I think that is precisely the point, and I think the criticism that you don't have that is really a criticism of DAS. I think it's reasonable to expect the management mechanism should have that material, should have reviewed it, made its, and be coming forward and making a recommendation to the legislature with all of that material present. And those are the kinds of changes that we need to make. So your point is exactly right.
Good. That was part of our problem that led up to this was the decision to recommend reclasses. Are they being approved and administered by agency directors without DAS involvement? And because there was some concern on the part that some of the recommendations were appearing in the budget requests. And when the question arose to DAS and BAM and whoever else, nobody seemed to have any background on some of these agency requests, and it was kind of a fly by the seat of your pants philosophy without any coherent strategy on how reclasses are to be addressed. So I also commend both of you for developing a policy that we can at least look at and try to develop some strategic plans on the long term as well as the short term on how we address reclassifications.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There won't be any question in the future.
Okay. Representative Westland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do appreciate the concern and the time that DAS has put into the reclass issue. Just one thing I want to make sure, and I think I heard this in your remarks, but as you're looking at the reclass of agency directors, that's obviously intricately related to deputy directors. And it's my understanding, is that correct, that when you're talking about the reclass of agency directors, you're also talking about deputy directors?
Representative Westland, this is executive level in some of the larger agencies such as DHS, for example. You've got directors, you've got division administrators and deputies, and those divisions would probably rise to that level.
So inclusive of all of the, quote, executive level, including deputy director.
Yes.
Thank you.
Representative Hayden.
Mr. Chairman, it strikes me in listening to the conversation that what is being discussed is a type of zero-based budgeting. Where we will seek full background and full information on the positions being considered rather than basing them on the previous year's salary. And I applaud that. And if we learn something from that, we might apply it in a larger universe.
Representative, that my 28 years here, we've used the words, and I'll caution you, when you talk about zero-based budgeting. We've been trying to do zero-based budgeting for 28 years, and it's like art. It's in the eye of the beholder. They know what it is when they see it, but we haven't got there yet. So if you ever get to zero-based budgeting, define it, look at it, and know that you understand what it is, but maybe somebody else doesn't understand on the same level that they understand that zero-based budgeting exists. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I, too, applaud your effort to look at the reclass situation. Mr. Greenfield, I have two comments. One is that I hope the scope of your inquiry will also look not only at the compensation packages, but also the machinery inside agencies for the use of vacant positions in terms of funding reclasses and some of the machinations that occur within the agency that surround reclass, that it's not just making sure that the job matches the classification, but also all the internal machinery. And a second subset of that might be, and I don't know if your inquiry will extend this far, is the subject of deputy directors was touched on by Co-Chair Westland, whether or not you will be looking at the use of executive service versus management service in looking at some of the upper level classifications.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, the opportunities for DAS to do a better job in managing activities in state agencies, asking those kinds of questions, is almost unlimited. But I appreciate that's a priority, and in my discussions with agency heads, I think they're going to welcome this kind of scrutiny. And as we look at the available funds to operate state government, these are the kinds of things that we need to do carefully. So the answer is yes, those are the things that we need to look at. The this committee has given us the resources, I think, to do that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Senator Dukes.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Thank you, Mike. It's rare to see an agency move this quickly on a legislative request, and I appreciate this. As Representative Morgan said, we've struggled with this mightily in subcommittee. You learn something every session, Mr. Co-Chair, but after 15 years, I discovered it was possible for an agency head to work out of class. And that was a real surprise to me. And then I got to watch a deputy position created through reclassification that had been eliminated by the legislature. And that was a surprise to me, too. But equally important to me as you do this, Mike, is we've had agency heads or agencies come to us and talk about the top position being small agency, medium-sized agency, big agency, and so maybe as they grew, they thought they'd wandered into another category. And we had one come in and talk to us about now they were part of the natural resource group, and they were all the agency heads in natural resources were treated the same. And there seems to be this great confusion, and we're the last ones capable of sorting all of that out. I don't know what kind of classifications there are for agency heads. I certainly don't know what kinds of classifications there should be, but it would be most helpful to us if there were only one set of classifications for them. So I look forward to seeing what comes out of all of this, but mostly just so that it makes sense to those of us who wander in here every other year and try to sort it out, because at the moment it makes very little sense.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dukes, that is a reasonable expectation that you should have of DAS.
Thank you.
And I might point out that their rapid response was precipitated by a call from legislative fiscal officer because the original request had somehow worked its way down to a bottom pile of papers on someone's desk who shall remain nameless. And that file didn't quite get the attention that it was requested in the beginning. So the urgent response was brought about by an urgent telephone call.
I appreciate that, Mr. Chair, but it is somewhat unusual even to get that response from an agency that already has its budget passed. So it's respond after we're finished with their budget.
They're improving.
Co-chairman, if I could remind Senator Dukes of the two words reconciliation and rebound.
Yes, that's true.
Keep those cards and letters coming.
All right. Other questions? Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to belabor this, but I would like to say that I really appreciate the fact that that this is coming forward at this particular time, and I want to express my every confidence in the Department of Administrative Services under the direction of Greenfield that we will see not only an immediate response and some activity in this regard, but it will be positive and it will be for the benefit of the taxpayers of the state of Oregon, undoubtedly.
Okay. Further questions or discussions? Representative Wesley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, as long as I've got the Director Das here, I just received a memo from Teresa McHugh, Mike, with regard to the protocol and procedure for the requesting of federal assistance or grants. And as long as we're keeping all these accolades on you, I want you to know that we from, you know, this side of the dais appreciate establishing procedures for the application of grants, particularly retroactive grants. I mean, we all know that there are circumstances the federal government doesn't let their grants based on, you know, our convenience or our schedule or our budgeting timeline. So I think helping to move this process into a more routinized format, particularly for the application of retroactive grants, will also help all of us along the way. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Co-Chair, I can remember in 1981 when I was the director of the Marion County Family Court sitting in a hearing where a state agency was asking for retroactive approval and got lectured from the committee about this. And so this is not a breaking news flash and limited sympathy for someone that doesn't get it. And so this memo from Teresa, I think, recast this issue, and I think it's not unreasonable, and we intend to enforce this as well.
Okay. If I may, Mr. Chair, I believe it is a we got into this just through a lack of discipline and laziness, and the fact that we're establishing some protocols means that, you know, if you had the opportunity to get your grant in. Grant request in a timely fashion and just didn't get around to it, tough luck.
Mr. Chair, I think that that's the kind of message which will get the response that we desire.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Budget bills reported out of subcommittee. House Bill 5027, Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Miller told me he really wanted to carry this because it was one that he wanted to vote in favor of. But I've gone ahead and prevailed upon him to vote for House Bill 2057 is Liquor Control Commission budget. This is this commission, OLCC, regulates the manufacture, possession, sale, distribution of alcoholic beverages in the state of Oregon. Agency's budget is funded with revenues from number one, liquor sales, number two, beer and wine tax, number three, license fees, finally fines. These revenues, after subtracting out the mandated transfers to the agency administrative costs, are distributed to the general fund as well as cities and counties in the state of Oregon. Just over $112 million is projected to be distributed into the general fund for this next biennium, as well as $100 million to cities and counties during that same time period. The approved budget of $77 million is two-tenths of a percent below the governor's recommended budget and four-tenths of a percent above the current service level. The subcommittee identified $136,302 in reductions that can be taken without affecting services, and we approved $2 million for the cost of credit cards and other non-limited budget. This budget will allow the agency to make several necessary improvements and investments. We approved $154,676 in two full-time equivalent positions to provide administrative support for regulatory specialists and regional field offices. Second thing we did was we funded $308,038, was approved for 5 new technology upgrades, including ongoing hardware and software maintenance. And finally, approved $198,990 to establish a base budget for various facility maintenance projects in our facilities. Budget also provides over $44 million for agents' compensation. That's $3.6 million over the current services. This results primarily, well, it results wholly from the increased estimates in liquor sales revenue for the biennium. Subcommittee adopted a budget note requiring the agency to seek approval of retail sales modernization project and to get that approval from the Interim Joint Legislative Information Technology Committee. The OLCC is directed to address concerns about adequate oversight for implementing the technology project, consistent application amongst the 236 contracted liquor store agents, to be followed by approval for the expenditure authority with a dedicated 4 cent per bottle increase in liquor sales to fund the project from the emergency board. Now, these are not to be used at any time for general funds. We express our gratitude for the good work that's being done by Director Erickson and her assistant Karen Gregory. And it was gratifying to have Director Lang with us for a number of the days of their presentation. And of course, none of this would be possible without recognizing the 236 contracted liquor store agents and their associations. And so, the subcommittee recommends your approval of House Bill 5027.
Okay.
Thank you. Are there questions or comments by committee members? Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm going to be voting no on this budget simply because I continue to believe that this agency probably puts the screws to the agents and consumers in the most negative possible way and remains one of the least valuable commissions in state government, other than the pass-through artistry of money. I'm struck by the fact that they want another 4 cents per bottle for this retail system modernization. You would think that 108% markup would be sufficient for almost any purpose without having to grab for more. But in any event, the best legislation, in my view, we could pass would be the abolition of this agency, so we wouldn't have to waste our time with it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further comments, Senator Farrelly.
Mr. Chairman, I will be voting yes on the budget for this agency, but I wanted to echo and amplify some of the comments of Senator Miller. The agents, I believe, feel disempowered in their relationship with the agency. They clearly need to have some better consideration of the objectives and goals that they're being asked to meet and the contract parameters under which they work. There seems to be a raising of the bar continuously for performance, but not much flexibility in how folks are asked to get there. Costs are increasing, inventory is shrinking, and the relationship between the agents and the agency is deteriorating, as evidenced by an ongoing lawsuit. The agency is in transition. It has a conflicted mission of promotion of temperance, but we just love to see the revenue that's generated off this industry. So I guess, Mr. Chairman, all I wish to do in the comments that I'm making this morning is let my colleagues know that the agency, although it produces significant revenue that we all rely on, needs the legislative oversight and attention of the legislature to improve its function both for agents and for the public. So I am in agreement with Senator Miller that we do need to take a good hard look at this agency. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Hardtown.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm going to vote for this budget, but I'll tell you, my first session of the legislature in 1967, we were going to overhaul the OLCC. Now, 34 years later, we haven't done what we should do, and that is privatize it. And I don't listen to Rush Limbaugh very much, but happened to catch him the other day, and he was trying to determine what were the worst laws passed in the last century, and he said, prohibition was the absolutely the worst law. And so, to me, the OLCC, the way it operates, is an aberration of the prohibition, and we simply must change it. There's ways we can do it without promoting the sale of liquor and privatizing, but apparently it's going to take a few more years to do it, but we must do that.
Okay, Jay. Representative Hayden.
Mr. Chair, I also agree with much of what the previous speakers have said, and I want to add the thought that in discussing this budget with the agency in my office, they responded to my question that, yes, the social costs in terms of public dollars to public agencies and public budgets exceeds the revenues produced for the general fund. So this is sort of a no-win situation. Still, it is a trust that the public has given us, like tobacco sales and the lottery, that the legislature must oversee. So I will vote yes.
Okay. Senator Duncan.
Well, Mr. Chair, I was just thinking, as Senator Hartung was talking, it's just a great example of why we need to get rid of term limits. We need Senator Hartung back one more time, because I think he can take straighten it out the next time.
Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
I would like to...
I think they'll drink to that.
I'd like to regain control of the judge. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Carno. Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would really like to thank my committee, Senator or Representative Butler and Representative Hayden and others in the committee, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but you all know who you are. You worked very hard on this budget. We heard all about sting operations, contracts, varying contracts given for really no justification, and all sorts of things about the agent compensation, which didn't satisfy any of us. And I, too, will vote to keep Senator Hartung here so he can get OLCC changed. But I do thank the committee for all their hard work. It was lots of work, and I don't think any of us are totally satisfied. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion? God, I'll declare my potential conflict of interest. I have 3 years of sobriety, and I do not exercise this product anymore. So, as far as the taxes, I think this is an addiction that the legislators have an addiction to. In addition to gambling, is booze, and they say go out and sell more booze so we can treat more alcoholism. And the original intent of the OLCC was temperance. And it's too bad we don't have the Christian Women's Temperance Union back here again. It created the OLCC back in the 1930s to remind us occasionally it's temperance, not to sell more booze to generate more revenue. As far as the percentage markup, as the senator referred to, 108%, I don't care if it was 1,000%. It's taking advantage of someone else's weakness, and having been there and done that, I'm prepared to exploit other people's weaknesses on behalf of state government. So, anyway, is there further discussion? Is there objection to the passing the House Bill 5027 as amended out to the House with the DPAS recommendation? Senator Miller will be recorded as voting no. Senator Hannan will be recorded as voting no. And the motion carries. House Bill 5030, State Marine Board, Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5030 is the budget bill for the Oregon State Marine Board. The Marine Board registers and licenses recreational boats, provides on-water law enforcement patrols through contracts with public safety agencies, and awards marine facilities construction grants to local governments. The Marine Board receives no general fund support and is funded entirely by other and federal funds. The major other fund revenue sources are registration and title fees and motorboat fuel taxes. The Natural Resource Subcommittee approved a budget of $21,127,690 and 38 FTEs, which is 0.2% less than the governor's recommended budget and an increase of 0.8% from the 2001-03 current service level.
The subcommittee approved enhancements to the budget to reclassify two existing positions, reflecting the need to compensate the positions commensurate with the duties associated with them, to provide authority to add one position to handle increased workload associated with suspension of boat registration under the influence of intoxicants, and to provide increased special payments to the Oregon State Police for fish and game officers. The subcommittee denied reclassification of the director and deputy director with instructions to change the deputy director's work assignments to avoid the need for reclassification. The subcommittee approved a budget note directing the agency to review the organizational structure to address the overlap of duties and responsibilities between the director, deputy director, and executive assistant to the director. The department is expected to recommend a structure that improves operational functions and increases efficiency with appropriate position classifications reviewed and approved by the Department of Administrative Services. The approved budget includes fund shifts from facility grants to fund increased law enforcement activities. The budget notes were approved during the Oregon State Marine Board, requiring the Oregon State Marine Board to report during the interim on coordinating marine law enforcement services and to report on the results of a constituent work group addressing boater registration fees. Natural Resources Committee recommends approval of HB 5030.
Is there further discussion? If not, I'd like to thank Representative Morgan and the Committee on Natural Resources. The informational presentation we had this morning on classification, this is one of the budgets that precipitated that discussion on the reclassification issue on the director and the deputy director position of the State Marine Board. And I want to compliment Representative Morgan and her Committee on Natural Resources for the work that they spent in devoting to this issue.
Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Is there objection to the motion to recommend that House Bill 5030, as amended, be reported out to the House with a due pass recommendation? Not. Motion carries. Excuse me. House Bill 5033. President Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 5033 is the budget bill for the Oregon State Parks and Recreation Department. The Parks and Recreation Department manages the state's campgrounds, day use areas, and waysides. In addition, the department operates programs relating to ocean shores, scenic rivers, recreational trails, and historic preservation. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends a total budget of $127,191,496 and 509.62 FTE for the department. The subcommittee recommends the budget without a fee increase, since an increase in the March 2001 lottery revenue forecast and technical adjustments reducing the budget provide sufficient revenue to maintain an appropriate ending balance. The total budget reflects a decrease in lottery funds of $136,522, primarily the result of technical adjustments from rate reductions, an increase in other funds of $648,785, reflecting technical adjustments and increases in small grants and donations, and an increase of $3,266,175 in federal funds, reflecting the expectation for increased federal grant funds from the National Park Service for the Land and Water Grant Program. The subcommittee also approved the governor's recommended budget to increase expenditure limitation for conversion to an improved financial management information system, 6 million and 6 positions, funding 38.25 FTE from other funds fee revenue for forest management and ocean shore protection, support for increased grant activity, temporary seasonal staff to cover increased camping in October to April, reservations northwest call center operations, permanent staff for newly acquired properties, project engineering staff for the facilities maintenance and repair program, and support for the historic preservation program, and funding from other funds for reclassification of 15 positions to align increased responsibilities with appropriate position classification. The subcommittee instructed the agency through budget notes to undertake a study of park user fees to determine an equitable fee structure for all state parks and report results to the emergency board, work with the Port of Brookings Harbor to resolve a loan repayment issue for beach revetment in exchange for title interest in the property, include identification of an ongoing source of revenue to fully support a proposed park site in Columbia County, report progress toward implementing a park development plan in Washington County, and report to the Interim Joint Legislative Committee on Information and Technology, progress of the conversion to a new financial management system, the sizing server replacement, and integrating with the state's email system. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends your approval.
Thank you. Is there a discussion on House Bill 5033? Senator Yee.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I would like to know what is the status of the Parks Division's asset maintenance managed plan doing? Last session, we heard that they had about $100 million backlog in maintenance of their facilities. And lottery bond money was given to them, but they were delaying the implementation of these repair and maintenance. And during last session, we were very concerned because if they cannot keep up with the maintenance of buildings in the tune of $100 million, they will never be able to catch up. So we asked the audit committee during the session to monitor this management process. So I'm interested to know what is the status of that maintenance schedule.
Senator Yee, we had a report presented to the subcommittee on that, and Susie, do you have the background to give the Senator the particulars of that?
Yes, Jordan.
Co-Chair. Boy, that's terrible. Maybe if I sit back here. Co Chair Hanson and Representative Morgan, Senator Yee, the Joint Legislative Audit Committee did perform an audit during the interim on the facility maintenance and management program. The agency has included the same level of funding that it had last biennium of $16 million in the in their 2103 budget. They have reduced their backlog from over $120 million to a documented $97 million, and with this investment in 2103, it would be down to $88 million. So they are reducing the backlog, and they do have plans to continue that.
Mr. Chairman, I'm glad to hear that because they were delaying the maintenance schedule. So I'm glad last session we kept a feet to the fire and make sure that they keep up with the maintenance, and I'm glad they have a schedule now. As a matter of fact, Mr. Co-Chair was the chairman of the committee who insisted on their being accountable to a schedule to keep up with their facility.
Thank you, Senator Yee. Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to add my appreciation to the committee for solving the problem which the delegation from Washington County has been trying to do for some time in the budget note, facilitating the development of a state park in Washington County, given a mechanism to proceed that to go forward to allow for the funding of that if all things work out. And I think in terms of everything that I've heard and seen, that the state will benefit from a new facility, which many people will be able to benefit from. And I just appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, further questions or discussion? If not, the motion is to recommend House Bill 5033 as amended out to the House with due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. Other bills reported out of subcommittee. House Bill 2129, Representative Hayden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. House Bill 2129A relates to unclaimed property. What is unclaimed property, you might well ask. Some years ago, I wished to pay a fee in Hong Kong, a business license fee, and I had to pay that in Hong Kong dollars, so I went to a bank, and I took in my U.S. $100 and got the equivalent amount in Hong Kong dollars. I went home with that check and neglected to mail it, and pretty soon a year had passed, and the business license had lapsed, and so I went back to the bank to reclaim my money, and they said, no, we don't give money back after a year. So I presume that was unclaimed property. House Bill 20, and you have all put a check through the laundry and forgotten about it, and that is unclaimed property. House Bill 2129 reduces the time period that certain types of unclaimed property must be held before releasing the property to the Division of State Lands. Currently, businesses and public agencies must hold unclaimed property, such as uncashed payroll checks and credit balances, for 5 years. And must retain records on the holdings during the same 5-year period. House Bill 2129 reduces this period to 3 years, the holding and record retention for unclaimed intangible personal property. Now, one effect of this bill is to move, as Representative Miller has so eloquently pointed out, one effect is to move funds into government pockets, unclaimed property assets into the common school fund more quickly. Once the unclaimed property is held by the Division of State Lands, the Division attempts to find the owner. While the Division holds the unclaimed property, interest earned on the unclaimed assets become part of this common school fund. Another effect of this bill is a pro-business factor in that it reduces the number of years that records must be kept, and it helps businesses in that way. The measure also requires the Division of State Lands to regularly provide educational or informational material to persons required by existing law to report unclaimed property. This will improve record keeping and compliance, and it will be done by a vehicle of mailing through, in some cases, Department of Revenue mailings. And this would help me. I'm a small businessman, and I would not be familiar with this unless I got a folder on it. The Natural Resources Subcommittee discussed the fiscal impact of the measure, which is related to processing more unclaimed property submissions and providing the informational material. The fiscal impact was accommodated within a program option package approved by the subcommittee in the agency's 2001-2003 budget. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends approval of House Bill 2129A, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is there a discussion? Not the question is... House Bill 2129 engrossed, out be reported out to the House with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? Not, it's been so approved. House Bill 2862, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move House Bill 2862 be referred to the House Committee on Stream Restoration and Species Recovery without recommendation as to passage. House Bill 2862 creates a commercial fisheries permit buyback fund and specifies the money obtained from certain limited entry commercial fishery permits be placed in the fund for the purpose of repaying any funds advanced by the federal government under a ground fish fleet reduction buyback program. The Natural Resources Subcommittee received testimony indicating that substantive amendments may be necessary to address certain unresolved issues regarding the buyback program. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommended that the measure be re-referred to the Stream and Restoration Species Recovery Committee so that the substantive issues can be addressed.
My question to you is, after it's been amended with the substantive amendments, then we'll return to Ways and Means.
I would believe that those amendments are significant enough that it probably would come back to Ways and Means.
Okay, thank you. Is there questions or discussion? If not, the motion is to move without recommendation as to passage, that House Bill 2862 be re-referred to the House Committee on Stream Restoration and Species Recovery. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? None has been so approved. Other business. Oregon State Police, Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Cochise. The Public Safety Subcommittee Joint Committee on Ways and Means approved the submission of a grant application to the U.S. Department of Commerce, National Marine Fisheries Service, Office of Law Enforcement for purposes of obtaining a 3-year grant for $1,061,025 for dockside sea and inland enforcement activities, purchasing patrol vessels, and distributing educational material. In February 2001, the Department of State Police was notified of an opportunity to seek grant funds to allow it to engage in various fish conservation and management activities. The activities would be carried out under the terms of a joint enforcement agreement with the National Marine Fisheries Service. There is no state match fund requirement. No additional positions are necessary, since OSP plans to use the grant funds to cover overtime expenses incurred while utilizing Fish and Wildlife Division enforcement officers. OSP expects to know whether it was successful in obtaining the grant funds by June 1, 2001, shortly after we are adjourned. If successful, OSP would need to request an increase in its federal funds expenditures authority from the Emergency Board. The subcommittee recommends approval of this application.
Thank you, Senator Miller. Is there questions or discussion? Senator Dukes.
My question is, so far in the budget, we're laying off a whole bunch of fish and wildlife officers, enforcement officers, and I just wondered how we were going to find the room for enough overtime, because I heard the presenter say there were no new FTE. And was there discussion on how we would work enough overtime to cover this with a reduced staff?
This is actually an attempt to buy back some of those fish and wildlife stocks.
Well, that's what I would have thought, but he said no, so I was just, that's why
well,
it caused
me indirectly, to. I think that's what. Mr. Neeswinder?
That's approximately $1 million. It's over a 3-year grant period, and it really didn't provide an opportunity to focus on the group by any of that. It's a grant application only. So we don't even know for sure that we're going to get the money. We're just going to come on the back.
Mm-hmm. But, Mr. Kocher, I guess my question is still, that's $300,000 a year cover a couple of people. And if we're cutting back significantly on enforcement, on bodies for enforcement, and this says we're going to do overtime and no new bodies, I just wondered if the question had been raised and answered as to how we were going to, short of wearing people out, how we were going to cover that much overtime. And if it is indeed to bring on some new officers, that's fine and dandy with me.
Staff, you have a response to that?
Chair and committee members, those discussions could take place if we're successful for the grant funding. And at this point, the department didn't come up with a plan that would add new staff, but the funds are spread out over a 3-year period. And the requirements are for them to do also. And,
okay, thank you. Senator Farioli.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. The other issue is a philosophical issue, which causes me to be pretty enthusiastic about this opportunity, and that is that we have tried to argue, sometimes unsuccessfully, that we do not need National Marine Fisheries Service law enforcement authorities patrolling Oregon waters. That what we really need is cooperative law enforcement agreements so that Oregon State Police officers who are certified in Oregon through BPSST are the folks that do the enforcement of our laws and do the checking for the National Marine Fisheries Service issues under the Endangered Species Act. This gives us a mechanism for accomplishing that goal, and I think it's a far better solution than seeing more National Marine Fisheries Service fish cops in Oregon waters. So I think this is recognition that we do the job better, we'll do it more diligently, and the federal agencies, if they believe in the public policy, ought to step to the plate with some grant money, and this is the opportunity to do that.
Okay, thank you. Further discussion, Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Was there any discussion in terms of, we have in here a purchase of 5 patrol vessels? We've been struggling for many biomes over planes and helicopters, and now we're putting boats in here as well. I note that the department would maintain the equipment with existing resources. I didn't know they had existing resources for maintaining boats. And sometimes it's, you know, sometimes better not to get the gift because of the ongoing costs associated with it. And I'm just curious if attached to this grant is going to be any requirements that we don't know about yet that these officers would be required to go off and do that may be contrary to some of the policies and directions this legislature may want them to go do.
Senator Miller, do you have any comments or refers to the question?
He's a big government.
We did not have an extensive or lengthy discussion of this proposal other than the fact that the grant application needed to be made in short order, and we'd have an answer by June 1st. But we did not have that kind of detailed discussion.
Typically, that discussion is conducted after the grant is secured and they come back for expenditure authority to get into more specifics of it. And that's when it's usually discussed in depth what is involved.
Thank you. I'll accept that.
Hey, Senator Dukes.
Mr. Kutcher, I just wanted to point out, State Police Fish and Game has boats, and they use them in their patrols. For this kind of a stepped-up enforcement, I would not expect that they would be able to, I mean, a lot of their boats are pretty old. I wouldn't think they'd be able to manage without some new boats, and they do upkeep on their boats, so it is a current program, and I doubt that you're going to see any really expensive ones, although as soon as you say that, you get problems, but they're usually pretty careful in what they do.
Okay, further discussion or questions? The motion is to approve the request for a federal grant application to the National Marine Fisheries Service by the Oregon State Police. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. We would like to remind the members as co-chairs that we have been having an attendance problem lately. As the subcommittees get into work session, it's incumbent upon the members of Ways and Means, regardless of whether they're on the full Ways and Means Committee or not, to participate so we can have quorums to conduct our businesses. If you cannot be available, please let the co-chairs know or LFO staff know so accommodations and corrections can be made to accommodate your absence. But it is difficult for subcommittee chair to anticipate members will be there during the work session and then not have them show up. And so for that reason, we would make this announcement. We commend those members, a couple of senators, Senator Hartung, Senator Crowe, have almost 110% perfect attendance. And Representative Hayden on the House side has 1,000% attendance. And we appreciate your participation.
Thank you, Mr.
Cochise. Oh, you got started.
Jeez. This is Friday, and I've lost control of this committee. Representative Butler.
Mr. Chair, I respectfully request the opportunity to vote yes on House Bill 1533. I was that vote was taken while I was out of the room taking care of other Ways and Means issues.
Okay, without objection, Representative Butler will be recorded as voting yes on House Bill 1533. Is there further action to come before our subcommittee or full committee? If not, we are adjourned.